If I should shave them. So we've just passed also the first week of El has passed us by. Hopefully we've taken note of it and try to utilize it for as much as we can. We'll try to speak about both, each in the context of each other. There's something in Parsha Shoftim. It's a concept which comes up in the Torah several places. It's the idea and the law. The laws, really, of somebody who murders in a situation where he's not completely at fault, but he is liable for the murder. The particular case the Torah discusses is when he's chopping wood, and either the metal flies off the axe and kills somebody, or the wood kills somebody, where he was negligent in the sense that he should have taken more precautions, he should have put yellow tape around and said, caution, person chopping wood, keep your distance. So he was negligent, but he didn't outright want to murder the person. The Torah says clearly that if he had intention for the murder to happen, then he has a completely different law. But somebody who had no intention for any murder to happen, he was going about his merry way, he was doing something dangerous which could possibly harm somebody, and the worst occurred. So the law is that that person has to run to a place called Ir Miklat, to a place, to a city of refuge. And there he must stay. If he ever leaves that city, his blood, his life is forfeit. The relatives of the murdered individual can kill him, possibly anybody can kill him, possibly it's a mitzvah actually to kill him. That person, he must exist only within the confines of the city which he runs to. There were six places of refuge throughout the land of Israel. There were three on the other side of the Jordan. And there are another three which, when Hashem will return us to the land, and the land of Israel will be larger than it ever was, so there will be another three for a total of 12. But in any case, this is discussed. Also, in addition to that, there were 48 cities of the Leviites, the Levium. And any city which was designated for the Levium, for the Leviite, also had this law that it was it functioned as a place of refuge, where again the murderer would have to run to that place, he'd have to stay there. There he's protected; outside, his life is forfeit. And that's discussed in Parsha Shoftim, and we're going to discuss it in the context of El. But as a preamble, we know that El is alluded to several times in the Torah, several different places. Probably the most famous allusion to El is in the words Ani Ledodi V'Dodi Li. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim, the entire sefer, the entire book, describes the tremendous love, the tremendous kinship between the Jewish nation and Hashem. And one of the verses there says, Ani Ledodi, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. That means that we have such a tight, close relationship. First of all, we refer to each other as each other's beloved, and I am to him and he is to me. It's an expression of the tremendous love that Hashem shares to the Jewish nation. Jewish nation expresses to Hashem, and that is very apropos for the Chodesh of El. El is a time where the climax, of course, is Rosh Hashanah, where Hashem, his entire Malchus, his entire kingship is revealed, and is revealed as only for the purpose of the Jewish nation. But the entire month of El is leading up to that tremendous moment, and the entire El is a kinship between Hashem and the Jewish nation. The Gemara says that Dishu Hashem b'Matzah, that a person is supposed to ask things of Hashem when he is available, when he's around. So we know Hashem is always around, Hashem is always there, he doesn't sleep, but there's a particular closeness of the month of El that a person is supposed to feel to Hashem, and therefore he's supposed to ask things of Hashem. You know, very famously, we're not supposed to ask for personal requests on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time where we're declaring Hashem's kingship, Hashem's kingdom, and we really don't focus on ourselves throughout Rosh Hashanah. So many people have very often asked my Rebbe, Rabbi Altusky, so when are you supposed to daven for your personal needs, right? We know a vital part of any Jew, our lifeblood, is davening. We daven for what we want. And if on Rosh Hashanah, which is when everything is decreed, we're not supposed to daven for ourselves, when should we daven? To which he answered, they're supposed to daven on El, during El. Because El, first of all, is leading up to Rosh Hashanah. So you go into Rosh Hashanah having had the prayers of El, and second of all, it's a particular time where the prayers are answered. Dishu Hashem b'matzah kiru uhu b'yaseh karev, that we should particularly daven, we should ask Hashem for things during El, because that's a particular time of closeness. Hashem is very close to us. So I need Lidodi Vidodili, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. That's very understandable how that refers to El, what the context is. There's another beautiful reference to El, which is something we say in davening every day. I didn't bring a siddur, but we say something which is in Psalms. Hu asanu veloy anachnu amay b'tzayim marisa. We say in Mizmar Lasoda, we say that Hashem made us velo anachnu. Now lo lamed, it's spelled lamed aleph. It's spelled lamed with an aleph at the end, which means not. So the reading of the words would say that Hashem has created us and not us. Hashem created me, I did not create myself. We know what Paro said, I created myself. People think that they're self-made, and we declare daily, we declare that Hashem made us and we did not make ourselves. But there's a ksiv and a kri. There's the way that the word is written, and there's also what a person should have in mind when he reads it. When a person reads that low, not, what he's supposed to have in mind is a low, a different type of low, the same word, but it has a vav at the end and not an aleph. We know that low, the word low, can be spelled two ways. Low with a aleph at the end means not or no. Low with a vav at the end means to him. So we're supposed to think like this, and amazing, you can't do this in English, only Hebrew. V'lo anachnu, we did not create ourselves, but also v'lo anachnu, low with a vav, we are to him. We are not for ourselves, we did not create ourselves, we are to him. So that's something that we should have in mind every day when we say that Mizmar Lasoda, Hu asanu velo anachnu, he made us, we did not make ourselves, we are to him. The Sfas Emes says that Aleph and Lamed, which is lo the way it's written, just backwards, and Vav Lamed, which is lo the way we're supposed to have in mind, backwards, is El. Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed. Just read it backwards. Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Aleph. So the again, a reference to El is in that we did not create ourselves. We're heading towards Rosh Hashanah. We're going to declare Hashem's kingship. El is a time to take stock and remember that we are not self-made. We are completely dependent on Hashem. He did not make us. We are to him. So very, very similar to Anila Dodi Dodi Li, that he, I am to him, he is to me. Also, we did not create ourselves. Rather, we are subjects, we are completely, completely indebted and completely devoted to Hashem. There's another reference. This one is a little more puzzling, it'll take a lot more work. The reference is in relation to this Ir Miklat, to this place of refuge. So the source which points out this reference, I don't believe, points it out in reference to our parasha, although there is a small reference in our parasha also, we'll get to that. I'll just call attention to the pasuk in Shemos. It's in Parshas Mishpatim, and it's in 21. In Shemos, the pasuk says like this. It's talking about exactly what it talks about in our parasha. Vasher light sada. If somebody strikes a man, sorry, if someone who had not lain in ambush, that means he did not murder with the intention of murdering. Vuelekim ino liyadai. And God had caused it to come to his hand. In other words, it happened. He didn't plan the murder, but it happened. V'samti lucha mokam, I shall provide you a place, asher yonashama, to which he shall flee. So a pasuk describing very, very shortly really everything that goes on over here. You have a reference to the murderer, to the person who was murdered, to the act of murder. It was an accident. And we have a reference to the place of refuge. Everything lays in this pasuk. So it's been pointed out that the words ino liyadai, which translates as caused it to come to his hand, that Hashem caused it to come to his hand, ino liyadai, aleph is the first letter, lamed is the first letter of the second word, visamti lecha, and I will place for you a place of refuge. Visamti starts with a vav, and lecha starts with a lamed. So the Rashi Tevos, the acronym, the first words of each of the first letters of each of these words, ino liyadai, Hashem caused it for him. Visamti lecha, aleph, ino liyadai is lamed, vav of the samti lecha, lamed is el. So there we have it. We have el spelled out in a pasuk speaking about the accidental murderer and the place of refuge, which is very, very difficult to understand. Again, even in contrast with El, which is spoken about in the pasuk of "I am to my beloved, my beloved is to me." El, which is spoken about in the context of "I did not create myself, rather Hashem created me, and I am completely devoted to Him, that's very understandable. Why is El referred to in the Pasuk, which speaks about somebody, an accidental murderer, and going to a place of refuge? What does one have to do with the other? Now, just for kicks, we can look at our parasha, on page 1034. And we have a passable reference to El over here also. You look at verse Ches in chapter 19. So verse 9 says like this, V'im Yachav Hashem, like it's talking about that there will be an additional three places of refuge when our borders are expanded, when we return to the land of Israel. So V'im Yachav Hashem Elokech Es Gevulcha, when Hashem will expand your borders, I'm just trying to find the translation. Yep. When Hashem will broaden your boundary, Kasha Nishba L'Yosecha, as He swore to your forefathers, V'nosan L'cha Es Kol Ha'aretz Asher Diber Las Yislav Yosecha, and He will give to you the entire land that He spoke to your forefathers to give, when you observe this entire commandment to perform it, which I command you today to love Hashem and walk His ways all the years, and then you shall add three more cities to these three. So the introduction to the mitzvah to separate an additional three places of refuge is this pasuk. We can look at the pasuk again, verse Ches. The words Vin lave secha vinosan lecha es. Read it backwards, it'd be es lecha vinosan lave secha. There you have at the beginning of each word spelled L. You have an S at the end, that's the Aleph. Second to last word is lecha, that's a lamed. Third to last word is vinosan lave secha. There you have L spelled out again in the context of a place of refuge. What's going on over here? We're all together in the question, right? Okay. So it seems that this shouldn't be very puzzling. Because Rabbeinu Yonah, who is the author of really one of the only two Svarim which deal with Musar, they were written by Rishonim. The other one is passably the Chovos HaLavavos, written by Rabbeinu Bechaya. But Rabbeinu Yonah, the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, it's classically read and learned during El, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Speaking to someone before, that traditionally the classic Musar Sefer for the entire year round is Mesilas Yesharim, which gives you basically a step-by-step directive of how to improve your life and become a tzaddik, become even greater than a tzaddik. But the classic work for El is the Shari Tshuva. And the Shari Tshuva brings a fascinating parable, which is really from a Medrash. And the parable is referring to somebody who doesn't repent, and he pushes it off. In other words, he thinks that, listen, I'm not going to repent now. Maybe I'll repent in a year from now, in 2 years from now, in 3 years from now. And he says that person is comparable to somebody who's in a prison together with many other prisoners. And somebody, some wise guy, is able to dig a hole, dig a tunnel throughout, get outside to the other side of the prison, and all the prisoners escape, except for one fellow. The guard comes to give them breakfast the next day, and he opens the door, and he sees everything. The story speaks for itself. He sees the hole. The wind is blowing in through the hole, and he sees this one nudnik standing there next to the hole, whistling. So the Medrash says that the guard starts beating the guy. What are you doing to yourself? Your friends have all escaped. Now again, they didn't have ankle bracelets, right? Now they weren't going to track them down GPS. Escape meant freedom. Maybe there was minimal danger involved, but definitely in the greater scheme of things, it would have been proper to run. Human logic, human seichel would have said to run. And this person didn't run. He's standing there by the hole, and we could just imagine him whistling. So the Medrash says that the guard starts to beat him. And he says, Kishe Yoim, which basically means idiot, right? Idiot. How could you not escape? The door is open in front of you. How could you not take yourself outside of the prison walls? Rabbeinu Yonah says that is this is a reference, the Medrash says, this is a reference to a person who is passable. It's passable for him to repent. It's passable for him to come closer to Hashem. And he doesn't do it. Because if a person has sinned, if a person is far from Hashem, he's distant. He's suffering in a miserable existence. He's distant from Hashem. He's in a prison. And the door is open. What's the door? The door is teshuva. The door is repentance. Hashem is welcoming him with open arms, and this person just stays by the door and doesn't do anything. He is simply he is simply wasting the opportunity to get out and get a better life for himself. That person deserves to be beaten. It's an evil act to destroy yourself. We'll get to that soon. This person is in prison and he has the opportunity to escape and he doesn't do it. He gets beaten for that. So too a person, Ben Yonah says, a person who doesn't repent when he can, so that's actually sin of itself. In of itself it is a sin because he has not repented, he has not gone through the door and gone to the better existence that he could have. So we have over here is a very, very clear reference and a very clear analogy that repentance, that coming closer to Hashem, is a refuge from a prison, is an escape from a crime. A person has murdered somebody. He accidentally, he didn't mean to do it. If he meant to do it, he has other problems. If he didn't mean to do it, but there was a crime that was committed, he has to escape, he has to go to a place of refuge. If a person murders himself, if a person gets himself into a situation that his existence is a lesser existence, he's further from Hashem, he doesn't have that closeness. So what he's supposed to do is run to that place of refuge, run outside the prison walls, escape towards what? Escape towards the freedom, towards in prison. What's a prison? No, it doesn't say that they were torturing this person in prison. The guard beat him for not escaping. It doesn't say he was getting beaten every day. It doesn't say what he was eating for breakfast. We can assume he was fed, at least, if not well fed. But his existence was restrained. It's not a human life to be cooped up in a hole, in a cell. To be free to go outside, to live properly, to be in the proper place, that's the way he's supposed to be. And he didn't do that. That's an evil act. He's supposed to get beaten. In El, what we're supposed to be doing is we are supposed to get out of the existence that we've created ourselves throughout this whole year. The whole year we've stumbled. The whole year we've constricted ourselves. We've gotten ourselves distanced from Hashem. El is the time where it's Dirshu Hashem B'Matzai, where it's speak to Hashem specifically when He is close to us. We have that opportunity. It's beckoning right in front of us. That hole is dug right, the hole through the walls is right in front of us. It's wide open, and it's our job to go straight through. So possibly that would be the understanding of the reference to El, specifically in the case of the place of refuge, because that's exactly what El is. The place of refuge is where a person who he's not allowed to be in greater civilization because he's a murderer. There's something to do about it. What he has to do to save his own life, he has to go to this place of refuge. El is that place of refuge where we're going to go. We're going to be close to Hashem. We're going to express ourselves fully. Now, just to delve into this a little deeper, if everyone is okay with that. Why are we describing El as a place of refuge? What's this about a place? You know, the Torah uses the expression "v'samti l'cha makom." The Torah describes the cities of refuge as a place. Now, it's important to know in the Torah that place doesn't mean location. It doesn't just mean address. You know, the Torah describes Hashem as the place of the universe. You know, let's take it a step back. I'm sure we all have in our minds, I certainly do, we picture the world to come as a place. It's not here. If it's not here, then it's there. So we picture it as a place. Between me and you, why don't you picture the world to come as a food? It's a great, 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 great food. A great massage. Why is it that we automatically picture the world to come as a place? I don't ever think of that. It's really not a place, right? A place is something that exists in the physical realm. It's not a place in the sense that we know. It's not an address. It's not a location. So why do we refer to it as that? So I think the reason is because Kabbalistically, and really, this really resonates with all of us deep inside, we know that a place is something which encompasses the entire person. If I eat a good food, so the sense that enjoys it is my tongue, my mouth, my stomach maybe enjoys it. If I get a good massage, my back enjoys it. Any other sense does not completely surround the person. For a person to completely change his entire situation, he has to move to a place. Because then the ear is different, the food is different, the surroundings are different, everything touching his skin is different, everything all around him is different. So place is the most we can imagine of a complete change. What doesn't change in a place? What's not changed? This is a slightly trick question. Okay? Person moves to a place, everything is different. What didn't change?
The person
himself, right? Yeah. The only thing that didn't change is the person, but everything that is external of the actual person has changed. We imagine the world to come as a place because we understand we will be ourselves, we will be our consciousness, but it will be a completely different place. We're not going to have physical hands, we're not going to have physical eyes, we're not going to have any of this. Everything about us will be completely different except for exactly who we are. It's a scary thought, you know, the world to come, the only thing that doesn't change is you yourself. Right? You remain the same person, everything around you is different. The person, as he goes through the world to come, is experiencing the world to come as he is himself. That's really how it all plays out over there. That's a different discussion. In any case, place is the place of existence. It gives the possibility of existence. Hashem is described as the place of the world because Hashem gives the world existence. The world wouldn't be able to exist without Hashem. The world exists within him. Actually, this is worthwhile to discuss a little bit. The way this is described clearly is that Hashem is the place of the world. The world is not his place. People have been asked the question, where is Hashem? Where does Hashem exist? Where can I find him? And the answer is, he's not contained within the world at all. He is the place in which the world exists, and therefore there is nowhere. Hashem encompasses the entire world, not because he is inside it and swells to its whole proportions, but because the whole world exists only within him. Hashem is the place of the world. Hashem gives existence to the place. When the Torah refers to a place, v'samti l'cham makom, the Torah is saying it's not just change your physical location, it's change your entire existence. What is the makom? What is the different existence within this place, within the place of refuge? So the Torah is very clear. The Rishonim speak about it. Who lives in the place of refuge? The Levim, the Leviites. The Leviites were the people that they did not own any land. It was the land of Israel, especially in those times, was an agricultural society. There wasn't technology in those days. The only thing to do was work your land. The Leviites didn't have a portion of land. They weren't allowed to own land within the greater. They had their small cities. There wasn't much to do there. Basically, they were not allowed to do farmers. You know, Jews have suffered tremendously over the past centuries. One of the major laws throughout the Middle Ages was that a Jew was not allowed to own land. Now, that was a doozy because there wasn't anything else to do. They became moneylenders and everyone hated them because they had to charge interest. But they weren't allowed to own land. They couldn't be proper businessmen. The Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, was not allowed to own land. Why not? What are they supposed to do the whole time? The answer is they were supposed to study Torah. That was their job. They were the Yisachar exemplified Torah, but Levi was the only tribe with the particular job. The description of the Shevet, of the tribe, what are they supposed to do? They are supposed to study Torah. So these cities of refuge were filled with Torah scholars. The people who would go to the place of refuge to save themselves. They can't exist within the greater society. They have to go to a different place where they can exist. Right? Not just a different address, but a different existence. What existence is that? That's the existence of the Torah. When they were together with the Torah scholars, they were able to absorb the Torah from the Torah scholars. They themselves became different people, and they had a different makom, they had a different place. The only thing that didn't change about them was their internal, the little tiny bit of actual self that they are, that's the only thing that remained the same. Everything else changed differently. It was this entire makeover, head to toe. They had a completely different existence. They went from an existence that wasn't surrounded by Torah to an existence that was surrounded by Torah. That was their place of refuge. What's fascinating is that if you read Rabbeinu Yonah about two lines further, after he discusses this analogy of the person that's in the prison and he doesn't escape through the hole and gets beaten for it, Rabbeinu Yonah says that the only time somebody wouldn't do tshuva, wouldn't do proper tshuva, is if he's not properly attuned to the Torah. If somebody is properly attuned to the Torah, then he automatically would have the seichel, he automatically would have the clarity to go through that door, to do the complete makeover. He wouldn't be that prisoner that doesn't go through the hole. So, very, very clearly that this seemingly obscure, strange reference to El in the city of refuge, it really is played out amazingly, line for line, in Rabbeinu Yonah, which is studied by hundreds of thousands of people every day these days, in which he describes the situation of somebody who is not close to Hashem as a prisoner. He describes as a prisoner for a crime, right? A prisoner committed a crime. He describes the he describes the opportunity to get out of that situation, to get out of the situation of lowliness, of distance from Hashem, as a refuge, as a respect, as a refuge from the prison as a whole that goes to outside the prison walls where he can exist properly. And immediately afterwards, he says that the way to do it is to study Torah, which is exactly what the Torah says, that the way that this person is supposed to have a complete makeover is when he studies the Torah, when he gets close to Hashem through the Torah. So we really have our jobs cut out for us. We have a little direction of what to do for El. We should first of all understand that the time of El is Anila Dodili, I am to my beloved is to me. We should understand that we did not create ourselves, Hashem created us, and we are for Him. And ultimately, we should also understand that we need this place of refuge. What we've done to us, we've unintentionally, but slightly with negligence, we've killed ourselves over the past year. We have fallen, we've done things that we shouldn't have been doing. What to do right now is to go to that place of refuge, go to that place of a different existence, a place of Torah, that's the only way to do it. In that place of different existence, then we can have, again, the fulfillment of Ani L'Dodili, we can have the fulfillment of V'lo Yanachnu, that we are to Hashem, and Hashem should bless us. We should all have a very successful El.